the J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
The governor doesn't think that there could be. I just got in an accident.
Anthony Scaramucci went off
in a profanity-filled, expletive-laden interview.
We're talking about F-bombs.
I can't read all the words.
We can at least give you an idea.
Scaramucci said he wanted
to expletive.
Deleted.
Effing kill all the leakers.
Scaramucci referred to Priebus as a, quote,
again, expletive.
Expletive.
Blank.
Blanking.
Bleeping.
Effing.
Paranoid, schizophrenic, a paranoiac.
And referred to himself as the mooch.
That was the least foul and offensive thing that Scaramucci said.
Scaramucci also using coarse language to describe senior White House advisor Steve Bannon.
Using an extremely foul term.
With language more fit for the outhouse than the White House.
So sexually explicit.
Such vulgar terms, they cannot be repeated on television.
We'd have to delete so many expletives, you would not understand what the quote meant.
Let me leak the blanking thing and see if I can blank block.
Bleep block these people the way I bleep blocked Scaramucci.
I'm not Steve Bannon. I'm not trying to suck my own expletive.
I'm not trying to suck my own bleep.
And I'm not going to blank my own blank. I'm not going to keep just saying blanking.
The president's chief strategist talking about self-fellatio.
How is that even physically possible, number one?
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Kids, it's the Tuesday, November 9th edition of the J.C. Corcoran Podcast here at jconline.com, the 364-day mark until the end of democracy in the United States of America as we have known it, but I will not belabor that point. All right, the world must be getting back to normal now that COVID is subsiding a little bit, because people are back to using social media for really stupid, pointless, trivial reasons. There's a petition out asking that James Corden not be cast in the upcoming movie version of Wicked. Apparently, America is tired of seeing him in every musical. And as of last night, the petition had more than 61,000 signatures. I'm sure he got up this morning and said, Why me? It's going to be very interesting to see how this Travis Scott thing plays out. You know, this is the guy who was on stage the other night at Astro World, the festival down in Houston. This, by the way, a hop, skip, and a jump from where my radio station was when I was down in Houston for about a year and a half. And again, you would have thought, and I heard a couple of reporters say this yesterday, you would have thought that after 1979 and the legendary Who concert disaster, that this whole idea of, well, they used to call it general admission, and then somebody came along with an idea, probably Karl Rove. That's what Karl Rove does. And by the way, don't get me wrong, I think Karl Rove is a genius, because he takes all of this stuff that the Republican Party is trying to generate, things that are trying to sell to the American public, and gives them very, very understandable, very digestible names. So very, very rich people, the top 1%, you know, he came along and said, well, we're going to now call them job creators. And he used to do that all the time. And meanwhile, the Democrats are stuck with defund the police. And then whoever the idiot was that came along with a global warming, you know, because it played right into the opposition's hands. That's why you had Senator James Inhofe down there in, I think it's, yeah, Oklahoma, standing there with a, he's standing on the floor of the United States Senate holding a snowball, going, how could it be global warming? Look, you know what this is? It's a snowball. Look. Another idiot who doesn't know the difference between climate and weather. And by the way, the difference is huge. But anyhow, my point is, and don't kid yourself, there's occasionally a point in all of this. My point is that they took a general admission, and then somebody said, Well, let's give it a happier name. How about festival seating? Which, by the way, is a misnomer because usually you have to stand. So it's not festival seating, it's festival standing. But that wouldn't sound very good, would it? So you would have thought that after 79 and the stuff with the Who, you would have thought that all of that would go away and that it might even be illegal in a lot of places. But somehow they got around it and they've been doing more and more and more of this stuff. And this Travis Scott guy is known for encouraging the crowds. And there were 50,000 people there the other night, and they said they could have sold 200,000 tickets. That's how much in demand this show was. This is like a whole subculture going on here. You and I are just like going, is BTO going to play at Riverport this year? In the meantime, Travis Scott, somebody named Travis Scott, Kylie Jenner's boyfriend, is, you know, capable of pulling almost a quarter of a million people where you have to stand. Think about that for a minute. So anyhow, this guy is known for encouraging fans to rush the stage. And there are videos. In fact, the promotional video, somebody posted it the other day, and it shows the kids basically knocking down the barriers just to get in. So, you know, the thing isn't open yet, and people are pushing the cyclone fences down and just rushing the stage and getting a good position right in front of the stage. And then at various points during the show, this Travis Scott guy has been known to encourage people to rush the stage. There was a situation, I don't know how, it's 2017, I believe it was, where there was some kid, they were playing at some sort of place that was a triple-decker place, and some guy got pushed off the third floor and fell three stories. He's in a wheelchair now. He's suing, and the lawyer was on CNN last night going, this guy does this all the time. He does it almost at every show, tells people to rush the stage. Okay, so this time, you've got 8 people dead, 300 people treated for injuries. And Live Nation, the company that promoted the show, said, we're going to give everybody a refund. It would be like school administrators at Columbine handing out Band-Aids. And Travis Scott says, we're going to pay the funeral arrangements for everybody who died. Well, that's just the beginning, folks. That's just the beginning. Somebody said there are 37 lawsuits already filed, and this thing just happened over the weekend. I was very careful about this when I interviewed Roger Daltrey. This is at the Ritz-Carlton in Clayton back a couple of years when The Who was playing at, well, it still may have been Riverport back then. But I very gingerly backed into the topic with Roger Daltrey, because I'm thinking to myself, this is probably the last thing he wants to talk about. And at the same time, I got a job. I'm a reporter. I'm trying to get good answers to good questions. And so sometimes you have to do stuff like this. Well, it turned out he was more than willing to talk about it. Roger Daltrey and his take on the 1979 tragedy in Cincinnati.
Another landmark event for The Who was the Cincinnati concert in 1980. Fans crushed to death trying to get into a concert using the old festival seating, which was over from that point forward. And I'm not sure that the average fan in the arenas that you play understands sometimes the distance between the band and the promoters. And that while it will always be remembered as the Cincinnati Who concert, that you guys probably would wish that somehow that wouldn't have happened and that would all go away.
Well, of course you wish it wouldn't have happened. I mean, we knew nothing about it at all until the end of the show. I mean, from the front, it happened before the show started. It happened at 7:30 in the evening, and we weren't even in the hall. The band weren't even at the venue when it happened. But they didn't know what to do. It was a bad situation, which they felt at the time, because they had, you know, a large crowd inside. There'd be people suffering in one of the doorways. They didn't open enough of the doorways for the crowd to get in. They made the decision that it was better to let the concert go on. I mean, and if, let's be honest, if they'd told us what had happened before we had arrived at the show, I don't know whether we could have gone on. So that might have turned a bad situation into a worse one. It's very difficult, and of course it's one of those things you live with all your life, and if you could change it, you would, but unfortunately you can't. It is part of life.
You know, I really liked that guy. A lot of times you interview people, you get 10 minutes and they throw you out and bring in the next reporter. In this particular case, I get to spend about an hour up there in his suite in the Ritz-Carlton. And by the way, I think I may have said 1980 in the interview. It was 1979, the infamous Who concert. But anyhow, you know, Roger Daltrey started out working in a foundry as a kid and, you know, making sheet metal, and it's hotter than hell in there and there's sparks flying around all the place. I remember my father saying, geez, you know, whatever you do, if you need a summer job or something like that, just try to stay out of a foundry. And boy, was he right, because I went to one time and I was like, you got to come into this place every day and deal with all this stuff, all this heat and all this stuff. Forget it's loud in there. Oy. God, forget it. But anyhow, he was, you know, having dreams of starting his own band and thinking to himself, I remember he said, there was no way that I was not going to get out of that foundry, okay? There's no way. And by the way, if you work in a foundry or maybe somebody in your family, I'm not talking down to you at all. I have a healthy respect for anybody who can do some sort of a job every single day of their life that I know that I couldn't do. So trust me, this is something I have respect for. It's just not for me. Let's put it that way. Anyhow, I can't even begin to imagine the amount of fallout and I mean, if you've got 37 lawsuits and it's only 4 days later, there's a tip-off right there about how messy this whole thing is going to be. The Las Vegas Raiders have released cornerback Damon Arnett after he posted a video of himself waving guns around and threatening to kill someone. This comes just after they released Henry Ruggs for killing a woman in a car crash. Eli Manning's double bird on ESPN2 resulted in a whopping 3 FCC complaints. That either means nobody's watching or nobody cares. The Aaron Rodgers nightmare continues with a couple of sponsors pulling off of him, and also State Farm, which is, I think that's his biggest client, they're sort of like, all right, we're not pulling yet. We have greatly reduced the number of commercials featuring him, but they're basically taking a wait-and-see attitude. I think they're eventually going to have to pull off. I think they're going to have to. I'll tell you one thing. If Aaron isn't planning on coming forward to basically say, you know, look, I fucked this whole thing up. I apologize. I don't even know what I was thinking. Maybe I've had too many hits to the head, but this was my fault, blah, 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 blah. Unless he's going to move forward and say something like that, which is, I think, the only chance he has right now to redeem his entire legacy, then he should just go somewhere and shut the fuck up. Because every time he starts talking again, he makes the situation worse. But it's hard to find anybody who is supporting him. CNN had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on last night. He took Aaron's head off. Howard Stern, I think, may have had the funniest line. I really laughed out loud when I saw this. Howard said the next time this fuckhead gets injured on the field, they should bring in Joe Rogan to fix the bones. Our national embarrassment in Missouri, Senator Josh Hawley, says one cannot be a man if he plays video games and isn't married with children. Fascinating view of the world from another shit for brains. And Ted Cruz says Big Bird getting COVID-19 vaccines on TV is government propaganda. Texas, the state of Texas, they want to secede. They love their country so much they want to secede from it. I say let them. And if there's any way we can detach them and send them floating out into the Gulf of Mexico, I'd be in favor of that too. I despised almost every single day I lived in that godforsaken state. And yet another tragic story that won't go away, the Rust movie. This is the Alec Baldwin thing where the, you know, whatever happened down there. A crew member who was helping break down the set was bitten by a poisonous brown recluse spider. He's in the hospital and might lose his arm. Production was canceled after the fatal accident involving Alec Baldwin. He came on last night, by the way, and said he's proposing a policy, I guess you would say. You can't make it a, well, I guess you could make it a law, but I think it's more of a policy that there be a police officer on the set of any movie where they're using guns and have the cop overseeing the entire thing. Not a bad idea. Not the worst idea I've heard. All right, I've had it with the awful stories here. That's enough. of the awful stories. Can we switch gears here? Oh, yeah, here we go. Demi Lovato. This is this singer. I don't know how old she is, but for a while there, it was looking like she was trying to join the 27 Club, too. Demi Lovato has entered the sex toy business with their own vibrator called the Demi Wand because, and here's the quote, "We are all deserving of orgasms," end quote. It's $79, it's waterproof, and it comes in a charging case that measures 5.5 inches. I don't know what we are to draw from knowing that the charging case measures 5.5 inches. Late Night Tonight, Mr. Open Marriage, Will Smith, on with Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Dornan, Quentin Tarantino, on with Colbert. Now, I'm liking that idea. I'm liking that. Gal Gadot, Gadot. I keep hearing her name pronounced different ways. Anyhow, she's on with James Corden, Sarah Silverman, on with Seth Meyers, and Emily Ratajkowski, on with Trevor Noah. Let me just tell you something. That girl is scrawny. I mean, even with those giant boobs of hers, she can't weigh more than about 98 pounds. She's got a terrible profile, and I don't care because she is so devastatingly attractive. I have no way to explain it. And if you said, well, no, wait a minute, you just said all, I'm like, yeah, I know, but she's still devastatingly attractive. Now, she became famous in that now infamous Robin Thicke music video for the song that they stole from Marvin Gaye. Well, they didn't steal the title or the actual song itself, but they stole enough from it so that there were lawsuits flying all over the place. And Robin Thicke's outfit had to fork over a ton of money to the Marvin Gaye estate. Anyhow, she said shooting that video was the most humiliating moment of her life. Then she did a topless scene with Ben Affleck in, what was that movie, Gone Girl? Is that what it was called? It was supposedly taking place in Missouri, in fact. And her pictures are all over the internet and Ego All Stars and all those places where you see pictures of naked women. And now she's sort of like trying to convert all of this into something very thoughtful and, I don't know, inspirational or something. I haven't quite figured this out. But, you know, let's see what she says tonight on Trevor Noah, and then I'll have more to say about it later. Have you seen Reese Witherspoon's 22-year-old daughter? You can't tell the difference between the two of them. And I would imagine Reese Witherspoon likes that idea. Kenan Thompson finally getting a little more of a side hustle business here. I think he's amazingly talented, can pretty much do anything. He's been on television for almost his entire adult life, and he's going to host the People's Choice Awards on December 7th, which is an absolutely abysmally awful show, but I'm still glad to see him get the work. They're going to make a Midnight Run sequel. Robert De Niro is going to be in it. Regina Hall is going to be in it. Of course, Charles Grodin, no longer with us. Leonardo DiCaprio going to star in a movie about Guyana, the Jim Jones thing from the late 70s. Now, there is an idea. Now, what was his name? Oh, my gosh. Powers Booth. That was my, because I already made a movie. That was a made-for-TV movie, though. And it was made probably 40 years ago. But Powers Booth, I remember, won a bunch of awards for his portrayal of Jim Jones. But I like the idea of Leonardo DiCaprio making this movie. Alanis Morissette's life is going to be made into a comedy series on ABC. A comedy series. All you got to do is shoot one episode of her going down on Dave Coulier in a theater, just like the song says, and just run that. Just run that every week. It'll win its time slot. What's up with Billy Joel? He's lost 50 pounds on purpose, by the way. It's not like he's sick or anything. And The Fix released their first new song in nearly a decade. It's called Wake Up. That's a Cy Kernan. Cy Kernan is on Facebook, and you can friend him, and he will engage with you. I know that because I've done it. And I remember telling him about, matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, the anniversary of this thing is coming up. Hold on. What is this? Hold on. It's tomorrow. 1984 at the American Theater, The Fix performed, and it was one of, you know, when you start thinking about the greatest concerts you've ever seen in your life, that's in my top five. It was at the American Theater. I'm covered with goosebumps right now just thinking about this. I remember I was wandering the streets of downtown St. Louis, and it was sort of a light snow, freezing rain mix. And I had just broken up with my girlfriend, and I was just sort of wandering around. I didn't even know where I was going. I was just walking the streets of downtown St. Louis, but I did have a pair of tickets for the show. So I walked in with about a half an hour left in the show, and I'd say maybe like the last 10 minutes, they turned up the house lights when they did Red Skies, and the place went absolutely berserk. And I remember thinking to myself, this is amazing. It looked like something out of a movie or something where people were just jumping out of their seats. And again, with the house lights on, which I guess was the venue's way of saying, look, you guys, you got to wrap this up because we're going to get fined by the city and everybody's going to lose money here. And you guys got to wrap this concert up and get the hell out of here. And nobody seemed to care. Nobody minded. It was almost better that way that you could see what was going on inside the theater. I mentioned this to Cy Curtin. I had met him at the Grammys in New York back around sometime in the early 1990s. We had a really nice talk about it. So now here it is like 30 years later, and I see him on Facebook. I'm like, it's probably not him. It's probably just doing a Facebook page for him. And I mentioned the story that I just told you to him in my first communication with him on Facebook, and he sent a note back right away going, I remember that night. That was great. It's so cool that you were there. So the Fix coming out with their first new song in nearly a decade. I'll check it out. It's called Wake Up. Speaking of Billy Joel, and we were just a moment ago, it was 48 years ago today, 1973, Piano Man was released. 54 years ago today, 1967, John Lennon on the cover of the very first edition of Rolling Stone magazine, and a free Roach clip included inside. 1967, 54 years ago today. 37% of us have already started our Christmas shopping, and a lot of that is due to the fact that we have been warned of the supply chain issues, and the advice from everybody who gives advice about stuff like this is, if you see something that you think you want to buy for Christmas, buy it immediately, because it probably will be gone by the next time you go there, and it may not be able to be replaced. And what about those Christmas decorations? I mean, forget about Costco and stuff like that. I'm talking about in your house and on your house. What about it? 49% of Americans want to start seeing stuff in terms of decorations in their neighborhood by Thanksgiving. Most of us don't plan to put our own decorations up until after Thanksgiving, though. The most popular day to do it is Black Friday. The saddest part about this stat is it even includes going down the stairs. 40% of Americans say that going up or down a single flight of stairs makes them realize how out of shape they are. 3 in 5 people admit they're reluctant to exercise. Half of those people said it's because exercise just feels like a lot to do. And since we don't move around much, we deal with lots of aches and pains when we finally do get moving a little bit. Sorest part of the body on any given day, our feet and our legs. The rest of the top five, sore back, sore shoulders, sore neck, sore arms, or hands. And 11% of Americans say their butt is one of their sorest parts. The slogan for Motel 6, we'll leave the light on for you. But I'm not sure what the motto is for the Econo Lounge, especially the one in Springfield, Missouri. Some guy was staying at a Motel 6 in Springfield on Saturday and took his dog out for a walk. Meanwhile, a guy staying at an Econo Lodge next door also took his dog out. There's a fence between the two properties, but the two dogs found a hole in it and got into a fight. Then the dog fight led to a human fight. The two men were able to separate their dogs, but then they got into it, and the Econo Lodge guy pulled a knife. He ended up, well, see, that's just it. People staying in an Econo Lodge probably should have a knife on them. Anyhow, he ended up stabbing the Motel 6 guy, but he's okay. He was taken to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The Econo Lodge guy was arrested. We don't know the charges yet. This one I love. The city of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And if you've never been there, it's a little on the cheesy side. It's just like a whole town that's built around a carnival and some water and everything. The beach is nice. You know, it's not like Destin or Clearwater or something like that, but it's really a big beach. I mean, it's absolutely huge. I found the sand to be that sort of hard stuff, but I could still think of lots of reasons to go there. Let's put it that way. Anyhow, city of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, it's yesterday that one of their trash cans, I guess it's some sort of municipal trash can, and it says city of Myrtle Beach on the side. This thing washed up in Ireland. Message in a trash can. Message in a trash can. And this probably isn't shocking, but scientists say red meat and processed meats like bacon and sausage can raise your risk of having a stroke. And Portugal has a new law that makes it illegal for your boss to contact you outside of work hours. Other European countries also have rules like this. I talk to my friend in Spain all the time. She's actually from Crevecourt, but she moved to Spain 3 years ago and is adjusting to life there on the southeastern coast of Spain. She's about an hour and a half from the Rock of Gibraltar. And we talk all the time about the differences between the United States and Europe. And it's enough to make you start packing your bags and book a flight. And that's what we got for you here on Tuesday, November 9th, 2021. The J.C. Corcoran podcast is in the can. We're here every weekday morning, absolutely free. We publish right about 7 o'clock, and we archive everything just in case you miss one of the podcasts. You may email me at jc@jconline.com. On Facebook, follow me at the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran, S-H-O-W-G-R-A-M, for those of you who are challenged in that regard. And please continue to do what you're doing, which is to spread the word. It's one of the best ways to get the word out that we are here. I don't have big advertising budgets or anything like that for this stuff. We're just basically putting it out there and hoping that it catches on. And so far, it's doing very, very well. And a lot of it is due to the fact that you have been sharing the information, letting people know that I am here doing this every weekday morning. And I really do appreciate it. So have yourself a great little day today. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.